How you feeling? You feeling good?
I don't want to feel good. I want to feel evil.
You are being very, very naughty.
Naughty this!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night. I am Scott.
I'm Joe.
And today, we're talking trash.
Talking trash.
Talking trash, indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, and often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review films unless you know what the worst is. And we're in holiday specials. We're in the holidays.
Yeah, the holidays.
It's December, and we're doing a couple episodes this month to end up the year. And I thought it'd be fun to change pace and do a TV special, from our childhood, one that touched our hearts, and most of all, touched Skeletor's heart.
Get moving, you two. We have a long walk ahead of us.
I don't think we can move. It's awfully cold.
I said move. Move it.
Please, mister. Be nice. It's Christmas time.
Christmas time? What's that?
It's a season of love and joy.
And caring.
Is that what Christmas is? No wonder Horde Prime wants to get rid of it. A season of love, caring, joy. Yeah, what a disgusting idea. Well, there's no Christmas spirit here. Now get moving, you two, before Horde comes back.
Hey, not so fast, okay?
So today we are talking about Filmation and Mattel Toys, TV show, Christmas special, He-Man and She-Ra's Christmas special.
It's a TV movie from 1985.
Thank you. I was going to say next year we're celebrating the 40th anniversary of this Christmas special.
Wow.
40 years ago. Can you believe it? This comes off the heels of the He-Man and She-Ra Secret of the Sword movie, or the first five episodes of the She-Ra TV show, depending on how you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
It came out the same year as this. Both were directed by longtime animator Bill Reed, and this was co-directed by animator Bernie Schmidt. It was also written by Don Heckman and Bob Ford. So, what's your history with He-Man and She-Ra, Joe?
Well, obviously, I'm going to not state my age, but you can kind of get it, that I grew up with He-Man and She-Ra.
Yes.
She-Ra had this badass sword. It could pretty much do freaking anything.
It's like a MacGuffin. It could do anything it wants.
It can do anything. It could turn into anything. It was, I mean, she was badass. She was freaking beautiful. She wore this like adorable outfit, and she had this like flying Pegasus. It was like,
oh yes,
you know, it was gorgeous. It was a gorgeous, gorgeous thing for my little eyeballs back then. And so, like, I'm full of nostalgia when it comes to He-Man and She-Ra. But as an adult, it kind of has dwindled in its charm a little bit.
When did this start? When did you finally realize, wow, what we were watching as kids was insane?
Well, I don't know when it actually started, but I think, like, since we started getting into rewatching old movies from our past, our childhood, such as like Garbage Pail Kids and all that trash, things for me started to change. And recently, you know, Howard the Duck, that changed.
Like, oh, yeah.
A lot of things have changed that like I appreciated as a kid, because I'm going in with these innocent eyes and everything was just so magical and whimsical to me as a kid. And now I'm like, oh my God, the voiceovers.
Oof, we can talk about that as we get into this, like, this TV special.
I mean, as an adult, I'm looking at this with, you know, different eyes, you know, in the last 15, 20 years that I've been doing these bad movies and stuff, watching bad movies with you and things like that. And things from my childhood, a lot of the time, are not holding up. They're just not.
No.
But can I still watch He-Man and laugh my ass off at Skeletor? Yes, because he's the best thing about He-Man, period.
Yeah, I actually wrote in, I wrote some notes, and I just wrote, like I usually do, either one word or two words or a sentence. And all I wrote at the very end is, Skeletor is the best damn cartoon character ever. Laugh out loud. That's
all right. Oh, blast it. I don't know what's coming over me. But whatever it is, I don't like it.
I mean, he really is, though.
This is why I so desperately wanted to be Skeletor for one Halloween party we went to. And I said, I'm sorry in advance. I will be in character the entire night.
And you were.
And I was.
You were in character the whole entire night.
The entire night. I was Skeletor.
I mean, I dressed as Evil Lynn.
I hope I weirded out every single person that was at that party that night.
I was so... No, you know what? You didn't. You definitely enriched their lives. All of them.
I would like to think so.
They all said, what a great job you did. I mean... It was a fun costume that we did. I mean, my costume was made out of cardboard, and I sewed some things myself and made the headpiece. You know, we made it together, and it was a lot of fun to do. It was a fun costume.
I think this was before quarantine, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it was.
Oh no! Right actually, after? No. It was right after.
Because I feel like it's been about 3 years.
It was right after. Yeah. It's
about
been
three?
A couple years. Yeah.
Yeah, because the memes have now become so, like, taken over of Skeletor memes.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anything about those. The only one that I really, truly remember was the singing, He-Man and him singing that one song. And so I crashed on the top when I'm lying in bed to get it all was in my head. And I don't remember. It's not Four Non-Blondes, but it's a, yeah. But
I know what song you're talking about. I can't get it out of my head.
I remember that. That was very important. But Skeletor has always been very hilarious to me. Mm-hmm. As a kid, I don't think I really got how funny it was back then and how bizarre it all was.
Yeah, no.
I didn't see any of that. But rewatching it later in life, I started realizing, holy crap, this is really funny. Mm-hmm. And then other, I would say, comedians from about my age started doing stuff about it, like Seth Green and Seth MacFarlane. They all started like poking fun at it and knowing how funny it all was. Mm-hmm. It's just like Megatron. It's like certain villains, they were just so funny that they became their own jokes and people realizing how silly it all was. So I when I did the costume, I was like, this is what I remember. But now it is like so big. Now the jokes about him saying something, then running away,
yeah,
or rolling on the floor.
Rolling on the floor.
It's like, if I would have known that, because if I do it again, I feel like I'll be copying those memes, you know. But that whole night, I was virtually doing those memes before those memes came, and I'm just laughing because it's like I'm really happy that people realize how funny it all is.
Yeah,
and when you rewatch these things, but I will say. People looking at these things through the tinted glasses of nostalgia, you know, because I what we're going to find out, I think, when you read reviews is that this has an extremely high review on IMDb. Usually I start out by saying
there's not a lot of reviewers.
It's like seven. It's like a 7 out of 10, a 6.6
out of 10. But there's like only a couple of reviewers. It's like 1600 reviewers or something silly like that.
Yeah, but still. Those are the people who are seeking this out like us.
Those are all 80s kids. Are you kidding
me? Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. And now, no human in their right mind would give this a 6. No. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, this is a person who's looking through those glasses.
Yeah.
You know, they're completely beer goggles. You know what I mean? Like, of nostalgia.
I mean, there's a lot about the 80s. That, I mean, you know, I'm an 80s freak. I love the 80s. Everything about the 80s. I wish it could always be the 80s. So I do have that whole nostalgia thing where I'm on that hill on a lot of things. Like, you can't tell me anything, you know, about some things about the 80s. But like, we had some freaking weird cartoons, okay? We had weird cartoons.
And
like,
movies.
There's some weird, like, the Thundercats.
And keep your foot off that blasted Samoflange.
What the fuck is a Samoflange?
I have to do that again.
We had Thundercats. Oh. We had G.I. Joe.
I wish they had. I don't know if they have a Christmas special for them, but I got to go find it.
We got to find
it. I have to find it. It's got to be just as funny.
Yeah, and we had Transformers. We had, like, our stuff that, you know, we grew up with. I feel like I would be a different person today if I didn't grow up with these cartoons. Do you feel that way?
I mean,
like, you know, these kids today are growing up with, you know, YouTube. Like, you know, our goddaughter, she watches Miss Rachel and all this, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that, though, because, you know, they're SpongeBob and Adventure Time at one point. And now
those
we have Steven
90s
Universe.
Kids, right?
No, those are 2000s.
Are they?
SpongeBob and Adventure Time and
oh, Adventure Time,
Steven
yeah.
Universe, and that's but all new 2000s.
SpongeBob is like older, no?
It's been around for a bit, yeah. But I mean, it's still popular.
Yeah.
It's one of these things. These things don't go away. But I would say that the humor now has become a little more intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we were in the 80s, what we're seeing is it was pretty bad. I mean, like, I will say that Filmation and Hanna-Barbera were, like, pushing out really, really dumbed-down kid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where and don't get me wrong, I enjoyed that stuff because I watched it all, too. But if you look at Looney Tunes, if you look at Chuck Jones, that stuff was very adult.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I loved it, too. But why in a million years that I loved Looney Tunes and Tom and Jerry or something like Inspector Gadget, and then went over to watch something like He-Man.
Yeah.
Why did my brain look at this and go, that is cool as shit, to the point where I needed every single toy imaginable for He-Man. And I had it, and I'll have to find the photo and put it up online when this episode comes out. Just me with all the toys, because mm-hmm. I had every single toy. And then you can also see how terrible the fashion of the 80s was. And
hey,
you can see it
watch
now.
It. Yeah. Okay. And yes, Gary had all those.
Oh my God. Know, I had every one of them.
He had all of those toys and stuff. So I definitely was around that a lot.
Yeah. I just can't believe when you go back and revisit this stuff, you're like, wow, what was going on in my brain where I could not tell that this was like cheap?
I mean, well, because when we were subjected to these Saturday morning cartoons, which actually this was on like in the afternoon. It wasn't even on Saturdays, if I recall.
I think it was. I think it aired originally on Saturday. If I might be mistaken, but I think the rerun that you're thinking of.
Oh, maybe. I just remember watching, you know, the Snorks and the Smurfs yep. and the Care Bears and things like that. Like watching that stuff. I don't recall ever watching He-Man on like a Saturday morning, but I could be wrong. But like, I feel like all of these cartoons, none of this was normal. Like, what the fuck is a snork? Okay? Like, they live underwater.
Again,
they have like a thing. Like, I don't even understand what a snork is to this day. I don't. And I watched it like it was my religion.
What's a snork? It's
Here's a snork. And we're new tomorrow morning on NBC.
That's NBC.
So it was all weird. It was all weird. We had Thundercats and, you know, all these transformations and the Transformers and all this crazy biz. And I mean, it was normal to us as kids because it was happening on so many TV shows.
Yes.
So it was normal for it to be super weird. Like it wasn't, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't weird to us because all of it was strange. It was, I mean, look at Jem. You know, she transforms into a freaking mega super pop star.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It just, this is magical shit that nobody would even think is weird because it was going on in every single cartoon. It was like a whimsical, like magic festival for all of, you know, us kids when we were growing up. Like, we didn't care. We didn't question things back then. We had the IQ of a raisin and we were just glued to the TV, you know? That's just how it was.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, it's so funny.
But now as adults, we're like, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
Like Prince Adam's voice.
Oh, my God. So let's talk about the this movie. It's short. It's only that 45 minutes.
Oh, 51 exactly.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Okay. And with commercials, that would have been a full day, full night's watch.
Oh my God. They used to put 6 or 7 commercials in there in between, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was terrible.
Oh my God. It was so bad. Okay. First off, this is the concept here is since it was after we found out that He-Man had a sister, which is crazy that they're brother and sister, and that she was taken as a baby by Hordak, which is her villain, mm-hmm. and Skeletor. They took her and they put her on another planet. Now, we have to talk.
Well, Etheria is kind of like...
Okay.
I'm not going to nerd out.
No, a nerd out, please, because I was like... how cheap everything is about this. It's like, well, yeah. This is Eternia, and he's He-Man.
Yes.
Prince Adam. So it's a She-Ra on Eternia instead of Eternia.
Etheria?
I thought it was Eternia.
No, Etheria. And then Eternia is He-Man's world.
Adora's friends even came from far-off Etheria, and they're all helping to decorate.
But think, okay, so She-Ra, it's all like a cluster of like planets around the same universe. She's from Etheria, where most of the people, if I recall, are bad.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's like witches and weird stuff. Like, there's like a really cheap Orko.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There's like a female witch-looking version of Orko.
Yeah, like they're all just like
weird versions of everybody.
Yeah, bizarro versions of everybody.
Yeah,
right?
And she's the one that hangs out with the dude that has a heart on his chest.
Oh,
and
yes.
He plays like the Mandalorian, right? A mandolin, I mean.
Mandolin.
As it should always be, this is the way.
This is the way.
Mandalorian.
Well, first of all, he looks like a porno actor from the 80s.
Oh my God.
He's absolutely ridiculous.
Okay.
But I guess that was like their masculinity back then.
So the mother and father of Prince Adam never told him, hey, by the way, your sister was once kidnapped. We never found her. We gave up.
Right. Yeah.
It just came out like after a long time. Like he's a grown man.
But now he's first of all, Prince Adam was always supposed to be a teenager. That's how he set out. So like when he became He-Man, he got the man voice. It's like he became a man.
Well,
so
yeah, I mean it's the Captain Marvel Shazam. Although
yeah.
Nothing about his really him changing. Nothing is changing about him. His shirt is just ripping off.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because
I mean, his hair
is
still
muscular.
The same. His hair is the same, and he wears like spandex pants and like a pink top, like a blouse. So he's kind of comes off as like an innocent, like you know, Prince Valium from
Spaceballs. Oh my God, that's 100% what it is, without
and then
a doubt.
He becomes a man, you know, when he becomes He-Man. So
he's like,
his voice changes.
Hi, how you doing, sis? No, I'm He-Man. It's like, what the hell?
Shouldn't we be helping with the decorations?
You know what? These claws need a manicure.
What the hell? I mean, how? And again, and I got to question this. Nobody recognizes that they're He-Man and She-Ra.
No, her name's Adora.
Although they even, as He-Man and She-Ra, they call themselves sister and brother. They change right out in the open.
Yeah, they do.
And they look exactly the same.
They do. She has longer blonde hair, but they do look exactly the same. She actually was on the planet of Etheria when the Horde took over. So Hordak kind of just like took her, like, I'm just going to acquire you kind of thing. It is a sister planet to Eternia. I just...
And so they never thought of looking at, over
they
there
never
for the kidnapped child?
No, I guess
okay.
not.
So, okay. First off, let me ask you something. Who speaks worse, like as a voice actor? Is it the actor playing He-Man or the actor playing She-Ra?
But can you have She-Ra contact her?
I think that can be arranged.
For the honor of Grayskull!
Live, Fitzwind!
I mean, I think that if... Okay, are they supposed... I know they're not supposed to be twins.
It's a happy time for us, dear Marlena.
Oh, just think. This will be the first time the twins are together to celebrate their birthday with all our family.
Are they? I never really understood that.
Great question.
Because I don't think they could be twins.
Sometimes they feel like they don't have a sister brother feeling between them. Sometimes it feels odd.
They never really say who's older. I know they're not supposed to be twins, but
this will be the first time the twins are together to celebrate their birthday with all our family.
Yeah, I would say that his voice is pretty bad. She kind of comes off as more of like an elegant older woman.
It's like a woman holding her nose, but she's also like on some kind of downer, or like she sounds so depressing.
She sounds mature is really what it is. She sounds
mature.
I mean, she does. You know, she's gone through her
there's some crazy
womanly changes.
I'm afraid we haven't seen the last of these evil things. Now, let's get out of here.
Oh my God. The voice acting in this movie, in these characters, it's like the first pass when someone's looking at their character for the first time and they're trying to find a voice for the character. And it's not, you know, like usually you go through like four or five ideas and then flesh it out and then you run it around a little bit and then you come up and you go, okay, this is how that character would sound and this is how you would sound if you're in a normal conversation. It's like they did none of that and just went with the first attempt. It's so crazy.
I would think that He-Man's going through some kind of puberty, but I feel like if you look at Prince Adam, he's at least 17, 18 years old, maybe even 19. Okay. He's still a teenager though. I feel like his voice would have already changed by this point. Why did they have to give him that voice of such like a whiny, high-pitched nerd?
Well, that's the actor, John Irwin, right? He's doing both voices of He-Man and Prince Adam. And he's just like, it's almost like they're sucking helium.
It's true.
It's odd.
How do you explain Oppenheimer's, that's his last name, on Skeletor?
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked at him, there's two actors where I'm like, okay, that's successful. Because Skeletor, he's looking at Skeletor and he's like, look, I have to be both. Like, when you look at a villain, you go, oh, it's whiny. You know, like, oh, he's a villain. So he's like a spoiled brat. So it's like, go whiny and you go sinister. But you also have to be playful for kids. So I think he nails that. I also think the guy who's doing Orko, which is actually like one of the presidents of Filmation. He actually, they're running his voice through some kind of thing to change the tone. And he didn't believe that he was doing a good job. So he wouldn't film with the other actors. But because they all did it around a round table, which would have been probably some of the funniest shit Ivor sitting around, everybody doing a table recording. That must have been incredible to watch.
All these guys doing that voices.
Orko and Skeletor, they're successful in being what they're supposed to be.
Yeah. I think the only like non-success here, which I don't understand. Oh,
almost everybody else. I'm fine. I'll even give He-Man a pass.
Oh, no, I will give He-Man a pass because I know that
it's
hard to you know, add that little extra, like, switcheroo when you're, like, a nerdy, dorky, you know, prepubescent teenager kind of thing to a man, like, to a hulking, you know, beefy man.
He knows how to change it. He hasn't hit puberty yet when he's Prince Adam. Like, he does work, and then all of a sudden, when he goes to He-Man, it's like, oh, that's a change.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got some range in that voice.
Yeah, they needed to do something like that because you just need to differentiate which one is which. And I get it. The only thing that I'm like having a major issue with is the goddamn voice on Swiftwind or Swifty, horse.
Okay, I love that it's a Swifty. I love it. Hearing it made me laugh the whole movie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Swiftwind, her horse, it talks like a grown man.
Okay, it
almost like a creeper.
If you look at the photos of this winged, beautiful unicorn. There's no way this voice is coming out of this horse.
No, if anything, it should have been more of a feminine, strong, feminine, deeper voice. Like a female voice, I would think a little deeper. Instead, it's a fucking grown man's voice.
It is, and it's so deep and off-putting.
It's like, Shira, you want to get on my back? Okay, Swifty.
You want to go for a burger?
Yeah, especially when it's like that playful, like Shira's going, come on, Swifty, we have to go. And he's like, okay.
I'm going to land right there.
Get on.
On Hordak's planet.
On my back, Kimmel, quick! We're all right now, Kimmel.
What about Shira?
I think she's all right.
Ride him, Shira! Ride him!
Yeah, it's almost like a smoker. It's like a smoker.
I swear, I feel like if you just look at that horse, that voice should not be coming out of that animal. It should be some kind of like whimsical fairy voice. I mean, it looks like such a beautiful, beautiful flying, like Pegasus, like gorgeous thing. And, you know, it's got all these beautiful colors on it. And they got this deep ass man voice coming out of this thing.
It's wild.
I'm like, no, you have to make it more whimsical and like something that will make you go, oh my gosh. And you're just picture like you're a little girl like me. And I'm watching this and I see that horse for the first time. And I'm like, oh my gosh, look at that horse. Oh, she sounds so beautiful. She sounds so lovely.
Yeah.
No.
Hey. What's up, girls? Buy the toys.
Anybody got a cigar around here?
Just as bad. Skeletor's crew sound hilarious. Especially one guy's run through a filter that's like making it robotic, which is really nuts to hear.
The automatic pilot is taking us back to Snake Mountain.
What? And take this.
I don't need a parachute.
That's what you think.
Also, Peekaboo?
The monstroids are very powerful.
Don't worry, Peekaboo. We'll cut them down to size.
The merman, the mermaid character.
No, Peekaboo is on the
no,
mermaid.
No, I said the mermaid as well.
Okay.
And then there's also, I got to think of this other character.
Her name is Mermista?
Sure, I thought it was Barista.
Merminista. Merminista, I think.
A water crystal. Yes, I know where one is, Shira, but it will not be easy to get. It lies in a deep pool near the old ruins and is guarded by the beast monster.
Peekaboo Merminista? Whatever
that
one is. I
think it's Merminista.
Mermista would know about it.
And who is it? There was another one in there where I went, wow, the choice of voice. Oh, I know what it was. The guy who's doing Skeletor, which is, I believe his name.
Alan Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer. He does a car, robot car, who the decision on that voice is insane. Now, he's supposed to be like a speedy character.
Yeah.
So, of course, he is slow talking and like revving up. The choice there, holy shit, was that terrible. Like, it is so bad.
I mean, it's almost like he has some kind of, like, he's got, like, some, like, cocaine withdrawal tick or something.
Oh, my God.
Like, he's just withdrawing, and he's just, like, starting to twitch. Like, that kind of thing.
We haven't even talked to the plots. We're already jumping all over the place. Let's talk about the story, because it's very simple.
I'm speaking about cocaine withdrawals, about an 80s cartoon.
Well, there's so many phallic
happening
things and homoerotic ideas behind He-Man characters that I it's just baffling almost all the time.
I mean, can we talk about Man at Arms? I mean, he's definitely a porno actor.
How odd it is to be around Man at Arms and his daughter Teela.
I mean, he's because got that fucking mustache.
They got some weird looks going on. To be father and daughter, and looking the way they do, it is very strange to be around. And then,
are you just
and then,
making it weird?
No, it's weird. Prince Adam's hair and his outfit, and then them two next to them. It is so weird.
You know, it is strange.
By the way, no Cringer in this whole movie.
No.
No Battle Cat. Uh-huh. Let's talk about the movie. So the movie is very simple, right? They are going to have a huge holiday event for their birthday. She-Ra and He-Man's birthday are around the same time because apparently they're twins.
That's the thing.
You said you didn't know, but their birthdays at the same time.
But how are they separated that at birth? And then
they were both babies and one was abducted. Both were supposed to be abducted.
Yes, but it seemed like she was on a different planet when she was abducted. That's why I don't understand.
No, I thought they ran from one planet to the other, and that's why the family just went, we're not going to go look.
I'm going to have to wiki this, but go ahead.
At least that's what I saw.
You're right. They were celebrating their birthday together.
They're celebrating their birthday, and they're going to have a huge event, and everybody from both planets have come together in Prince Adam's world.
Now, are they saying their birthday is on Christmas Day?
Technically, in Earth time, it is Christmas.
Okay.
So it's December. So I'm guessing it's either Christmas Eve or the day before Christmas Eve because we'll get to that. But on these other planets' time, there is no such thing as Christmas. They're just having a huge birthday celebration to celebrate Prince Adam and what's her name?
Adora.
Adora. See, I didn't watch She-Ra a lot. You know, it's like that, you know, when you're
boys.
A boy, you watch the, you know, certain things. I didn't watch Gem. I know about Gem more than I know about the other stuff.
It's truly
but
outrageous.
I didn't watch like Strawberry Shortcake or Rainbow Bright or anything.
You know, I had those dolls, the Strawberry Shortcake.
They smelled like.
And I had the Lemon Meringue. And not only were they gorgeous dolls and they had these cute little removable hats, but they fucking smelled like strawberries and lemons.
Being a kid, you know, having the toys I had, I did think those toys looked amazing.
They were beautiful.
I was like, wow, they look really nice.
Like you squeeze their tummy and they breathe on you, yeah. I guess. But it's the smell of like strawberries and lemons. And they were the most fabulous dolls. I wish I still had them. I had Strawberry Shortcake and Lemon Meringue, and they were absolutely gorgeous. She was bright yellow. Anyway, I fucking love the 80s, man. I could talk about the 80s toys forever.
I think there was a part of me as a child holding up my He-Man that just looked like a giant roided out guy with his head, like a small head on top of it, and then looked over at your toys and went, man, those toys look pretty cool at your toys. While my toys was like, eh.
Yeah, but you had Castle Grayskull.
Yeah, I know.
That thing was awesome.
It was cool. It wasn't that cool.
It was cool. It opened up.
Yeah, it did.
It was awesome, man.
It had some things.
You know how much that thing's probably worth today?
The Skeletor's, whatever his castle was called. That one was cool. It had like this weird microphone thing that you were talking that would just make a noise.
Oh.
It was like a snakehead. Anyways. So they're having this huge bash. Everybody's involved. Every character comes here without dialogue. They're setting up the whole festivities. And the only person missing is Prince Adam because he is with Man at Arms. And they're setting up a rocket test for what they call the Sky Spy. They say it a lot. The Sky Spy. And they're going to, I don't know what their plan is for the Sky Spy, but I'm guessing they're going to spy in the sky.
I think
anything,
it's kind of like a combat rocket. So like it's like a
not even a drone. It's a full rocket.
Yeah, is it to like stop the enemy to like or watch the enemy and see
what gave it away?
I don't know. Spy,
sky spy,
sky spy.
If anything, He-Man isn't subtle. They tell you everything that's going on in almost every sentence, in only one word or whatever. But yeah. So they're setting up the test, and wouldn't you know it, Orko.
You know, Orko's a fucker.
He's a jerk.
He's such a fucker.
He's an idiot.
He causes so much havoc all the time.
Yeah. You know, I fully have never grasped what exactly is going on with Orko.
I don't either. He has magical powers, though, and he's annoying as hell.
He's some kind of imp, right? He's like, I always kind of assumed that he's like the Great Gazoo. But I never really understood if that's supposed to be a shadow that is his face. hiding his face?
I don't know. You can't really see. He just has eyeballs.
Is it just that you see his ears too?
Yeah, you see his ears.
But and they're blue. And I always just assumed that he somehow the hat is just making his face like completely covered.
They never actually show him in the cartoon.
Even the toy came out and it's just a black face. Just like a block with two eyes and then the ears.
He's annoying. I don't like him.
He's a wild character. I mean, he should be the Scrappy, but he's not.
Oh my God.
For some kind of weird reason, he is kind of endearing.
I mean, he's not on the level of Scrappy. He is annoying, but I mean, Scrappy, I just want to kick him. I've always hated Scrappy Doo. Always.
Yeah.
He's just a menace. But Orko is not like, I mean, he's annoying. He's a pain in the ass, but I feel like he's also kind of like stupidly endearing.
That's sometimes. What I'm saying. It's kind of like charming in a dumb way.
Yeah.
But he is an idiot.
He is an
like
idiot.
A complete idiot and screw up.
Yeah. And he never has any clue of what he's actually doing.
And his magic never completely works. It never helps really. It's always kind of messed up. It comes with a problem.
Yeah.
So of course, being Orko, he sneaks upon or on board the Sky Spy and hits some of the controls and gets sent out into space. But not into space. He actually goes on a journey around the planet being chased by Skeletor and his gang of misfits. And when I say misfits, so they're such idiots that Skeletor at one point injects them all from the from his ship, and they are all attached to one parachute.
Oh my gosh, the best. He throws one parachute, and they all are hanging by each other's foot.
Yeah.
I was actually laughing at that, because I was like, oh, this is, you know, he could have just kicked them out to their death. But he actually tried to save them, so he's really not all evil.
No, there's a sense of him that knows, I can't kill these guys. I want to, but I can't. But then Orko does, instead of getting taken by the bad guys, he does go off into space and somehow finds Earth.
Yep.
Which, by the way, he says, that doesn't look like Eternia. And then I went, it also doesn't look like Earth. It looks like a blue ball.
It doesn't look like Earth at all.
At all.
So, and but apparently they're trying to save money on colors, I guess.
Maybe. It just was like, reuse Eternia.
No, so he lands there and he finds these two kids, and they're so cute. They are cute.
Oh, are they, Joe?
They are cute.
They're, okay, so their names are Miguel and Alicia.
Miguel and Alicia.
What an interesting choice in names. And I love Miguel. His head is like a normal sized man's head on a small child's body, and he looks like an Osmond. And he looks so adult. And Alicia is your normal Alicia look.
You totally very just showed blonde. Your age, by the way.
I don't care. I already told you I had all of the toys and watched all these cartoons when I was a kid.
Bad apple don't spoil the whole bunch, girl. That's from my sisters.
But you have to admit, Alicia looks like a typical Alicia. You know, big blue eyes and blonde hair.
I mean, I know an Alicia.
Does she look like this?
Well, first of all, Pink's name is Alicia, the singer. And also, yes, I do know an Alicia who has blonde hair and brown eyes.
Okay.
So it's possible. What would you think an Alicia looks like? I really need to know.
Just not this.
No, you got to tell me.
She looks like, in this, she looks like a Tiffany. Like Miguel and Alicia.
Yeah.
They don't look like...
Well, if they have Latino parents, which I'm guessing they do, his name is Miguel.
We don't have to guess. We see them. And okay. It looks like Bobby Mordahan and...
At this point, we don't see them.
In fact, I question the entire movie. What about their parents?
Okay, so she could be Alicia and he's Miguel. They can have Latino parents.
Thank you, honey.
There you go. See? So... we're not speculating on what an Alicia looks like, but this little girl's cute. But I will say she does look like Prince Adam.
Yes.
She has the same
haircut.
She looks
like a more childish version of Prince Adam.
Like, what is this? They're just recycling. They're just.
Well, I love that certain times they don't recycle art and then sometimes they are. There's a couple times I think Horde Prime or whatever it is, this main villain, it seems like new art that is completely actual art, because a lot of time is that just freeze frames with the mouth moving or an eyeball.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it.
That's to save money.
And then, yeah. But sometimes Horde Prime's like hands full on animation. I'm like, that must have been new.
Yeah. Depends on what their budget was.
No budget whatsoever. I can't believe it. Apparently, when the movie released, the She-Ra He-Man movie, it made $7 million in the box office. And they said that was like 10 times any budget they had.
Are you talking about the Masters of the Universe live action?
No, they had a He-Man She-Ra movie called, I mentioned it already. It was called the Secret of the Sword.
The Secret of the Sword, okay.
That's the one where they introduced She-Ra.
Oh, okay, okay.
And her abduction. They land. Orko finds these two children in the middle of the wilderness, I guess, looking for the family Christmas tree, as one parent does send the two kids, the young two children, out in the wilderness to cut down a Christmas tree and bring it home. Good parents.
Maybe they were busy working.
I assumed that this was the two children from the Christmas tree movie that we did on the show, where they're just orphans, like in the middle of nowhere.
Speaking of that, seek that out. I need everyone to watch The Christmas Tree and tell me.
Oh, it's terrible.
If you're still mentally sound after you watch it.
I can hear the woman in that movie right now in my head. She would have loved Skeletor. They would have got along.
Oh my God.
They would have got along really well.
For sure.
I want you to place something valuable in her purse while she's in your house picking up the package. That shouldn't be too difficult for you with your fast fingers, should it?
How clever of you!
Now listen carefully. Make a package. I'm going to tell her you'll have one ready to pick up.
I hear you!
We have to make everything look real so she won't be suspicious. Wait for an hour and then call the police.
And what luck! She can't call for help! That means no He-Man rushing to her rescue.
When he hears that his favorite lady is a thief, well, he'll just flip. She'll automatically be thrown out of the house. She'll never make it back here.
Tita will not leave Snake Mountain.
Good.
But yeah, they are looking for a Christmas tree in the middle of nowhere and in a dangerous snowstorm. And of course, Orko's ship lands and there's an avalanche because of it. So because Orko did what he did, he almost kills two children, but luckily he stops the magic with his magic, which is also terrible. It makes them hover and he flies them to safety
from the avalanche,
but then does drop them.
But they're also not going to be traumatized by seeing an alien.
They don't react to a flying.
No,
it's virtually a flying shirt with hands and eyes. In a hat.
And ears. He has ears poking
out. He's a giant flying shirt, and nobody seems to ever care.
Nope.
Like, the kids do not give a crap. In fact, that all they're really worried about is Christmas is upon them, and they need a Christmas tree. And he takes them out into his ship, as one does, and two kids follow, as you do. And they discuss Christmas, because Orko has never heard of Christmas.
Well, they show us a little bit of that. But then they cut through most of the religious crap.
Oh, right before he's going to tell, just cut away to Prince Adam.
Yes.
Which I love. But before that, he's trying to explain the Christmas tree. And the way that the kid Miguel explains the Christmas tree is by fumbling his words and they left it in. I don't know if it's just the whoever the actor was or if it is a kid actor couldn't get the lines out and they left it all in. Because he goes, "It's not a Christmas tree." Well, it is it's a Christmas tree. Right? Remember what I'm talking about?
We looked at each other like, okay,
he's why like, did Christmas isn't repeat. Christmas. Christmas is Christmas. And a Christmas tree isn't just a Christmas. Well, it is a Christmas tree. It's a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
It seemed like the voice actor flubbed his lines, but they just left it in.
Yeah, they just let him talk. And they just left it in. They
didn't have the budget for another take.
It's not like it's funny. It's just weird. Like, what? What just happened?
Editor's note. We actually misheard this entire line of dialogue because what really happens is Orko misinterprets Christmas tree to be Christmas tree.
First of all, it's a Christmas. No, I mean, it's not a Christmas tree. It's a Christmas tree.
And then he goes, "Let me explain all about Christmas." And that's when they cut away to Prince Adam. Apparently, they have noticed that Orko has gone missing. I love that they have, like, only 10 minutes go by and they go, oh no, Orko's not here. He must have gotten into trouble again.
Of course, because he's a dummy.
So they figure it out that the reason the ship went nuts was because Orko.
He stowed away on it and hit a button, and that's the end of it. So now they have to work on getting him back. So Man-at-Arms actually has a device, which is pretty rad, that he can hone in on his location.
But he needs a gem.
But he does need a gem. So they have to go to the mermaids, which her name is Merminista.
Only She-Ra can go too. She-Ra has to go home to her home planet.
To Etheria.
Yeah.
To see Merminista.
Because the gem is a water gem. And it's also a reference to another cartoon of Filmation's too, by the way, which is really weird. They're mentioning this gem is an actual reference to another show, which is so strange. Yeah. And yeah, of course she has it.
She goes under the water and gets this gem like it's nothing. Oh, thank you. Thank you for your help. So She-Ra brings the gem back, and then Man-at-Arms is literally able to hone in on this location that Orko is in with the kids in the ship. And he beams back the whole ship, not realizing that the children are on the ship. So they are in Eternia, the kids.
Yes.
Which they don't seem bothered at all by the situation.
They're only worried about getting home for Christmas.
Yeah. They're not worried about their parents worrying about them. They're not worried about, oh my God, we're in this magical land with all these crazy magical creatures and these crazy like wizards and sorcery and all this stuff. Nope, nope, nope. They're fine. They're fine with it.
They're not even concerned. No one even mentions their parents. No. The whole time I kept going, are they foster kids? Are they homeless? I could not tell what was happening because no one ever mentions it.
Yeah. They don't even say, oh, are your parents worried about you? Nothing.
Yeah. And I love the kids explain. Orko's like, you guys don't know about Christmas? And what, by the way, the queen does.
It seems like the queen does know about it. So the queen
is an earthling.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
Isn't He-Man's father? How did that come about?
He's from Eternia.
Yeah. So how did the queen of Eternia become the queen of Eternia?
I don't know, but she knows what Christmas is, and she mentions that she knows what Christmas is, that it's a very important holiday.
Marlena.
Yeah, and so Orko explains what Christmas is during a recap, and then Orko explains the entire situation that's happened to them. And then they say, what's Christmas? And I'm like, wait, didn't he explain the entire thing that what happened? Remember, we were like, wait a minute, he just explained everything and you still didn't hear what Christmas was yet? Well, then they're going to do Christmas stuff. And I guess they're going to like try to merge the Christmas with the birthdays so the kids can have Christmas while they're trying to figure out a way to send them back.
Right. Oh, and Marlena is of Earth. So, yeah.
Okay.
So that's how she knows.
Okay. While they're doing that, their Horde Prime senses too much goodness in the world. That's wild. He senses two children and goes, man, something's up. We got to kill these damn children. So he calls Hordak, which, and I guess to explain Hordak a little bit, I have never fully understood what he's supposed to be. From what I can gather, I always assumed that he was some kind of bat, skull, pig monster. But I think he's supposed to be a robot.
Really?
Yeah, and he even snorts like a pig when he talks.
I mean, yeah, he does look like a Scooby-Doo villain, like a bat. He does look like a bat.
Yeah, he's got bat symbols on himself.
Yeah.
But his head is like very, I don't know, like he's got a pig nose looking thing. And
yeah, but he has fangs.
Have fangs. It's always been so weird. But yeah, he gets called and Skeletor gets called. And they go to Horde Prime. He virtually, because they're villains, they pit each other or against each other, whoever can get to the kids quicker and bring them back to Horde Prime, which makes them not work together and screw up everything.
Of course.
Of course. And so they set out on ways to get them. And the kids, I don't even remember how they get to Monstroid. What the hell? What? How do they get to that city? That's like on the other planet. I think they get kidnapped. I think they, they get taken from.
Doesn't Skeletor get them first?
No, Skeletor gets them second.
Oh my god! We just watched it and I forgot already.
I think Hordak gets them and brings them to this other planet, and we find out that there's like a planet or some kind of place. There's giant robots that kind of shapeshift, and it's virtually a ripoff of Transformers.
Yeah,
They're giant robots, and they're called Monstroids.
Yeah, but they kind of like all have the same look.
Yeah, they're just the same silver thing, but they become tanks and stuff. Yeah. Monstroids. And when you know it, Monstroids are from Monstroid City.
Of course.
Very well written.
Where do you
think
they were from? New Jersey?
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, and I forgot to mention, I'm so mad about this because when they went for the mermaid, they wouldn't stop saying the word pool. It's in the pool.
Pool.
And everybody kept saying pool. And I was like, is this a thing that one actor doesn't know how to say pool? So they're all saying pool. Poola. And I was like, but everybody keeps saying it. So I was like, is this a word?
I mean, that's your only problem with the voiceover?
I just couldn't stop laughing. But one of the many notes I wrote was pool.
It lies in a deep pool near the old ruin. If you can keep the creature out of the pool long enough.
So this is the pool of the beast monster.
And by the way, I'm so mad at we're skipping around so much. I forgot Dingle Bells. That's another thing that was said. But also, we have to talk about Shiro's music.
Aw.
I wrote the lyrics.
Please.
I mean, these are some of the best lyrics. So I had to write them down. Every time Shiro becomes Shira, she gets her own theme music.
Yes.
And I wrote the words down. Shira. Shira? Shira. Shira. I don't know. I just had to write that down. Okay, so those are the words.
I mean, you didn't really sing it with a lot of pizzazz.
Shira, 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 in the pool.
I mean, she's a princess of power. Come on.
That's true. They don't even say that.
Nope, they don't.
So the Monstroids, they scare off Hordak, who's supposed to be traveling through. And by the way, the kids, now this is very important, and we cannot not talk about this, but the kids, now I do remember how they were kidnapped. They were singing a song.
A new Christmas song. Let's try it.
Love and caring, peaceful bliss. Mm-hmm.
They had written an entire song about Christmas on Eternia.
Now, they sing it in unison, the two of
them. Yes. While Orko and that weird-looking bat creature from She-Ra dance together.
When did they have time to write this song? When did they have time?
Well, the one guy who plays the mandolin, he says, I'm glad we have some time to work on the song we've been working on. And then he starts playing and they sing the whole song. But just then, Hordak's ship comes. Now we have to talk about Hordak's ship. Because it's a giant dick.
Yeah, you have to make sure that, I mean, literally this, you have to describe this thing. It is a It's a penis without balls. That's what it is.
It could very easily be said that it's supposed to be a nose with nostrils because there are nostrils that suck up the kids.
Oh my god.
But it does look like a giant dong.
It's a dong.
It flies.
I just said dong.
After sucking the kids in, they run off and they get away, but they go to Monstroid City. They have to pass by, and Monstroid City, a giant robot grabs the dong in the air.
You're trying to grab more than you can handle.
And then slams the penis down on the floor.
Yeah.
And they come out, they go, hey, Hordak's like, whoa, what are you doing? I'm bringing them to Horde Prime. And the Monstroids are like, we don't care about that. You're out of here. We own those kids now. Everybody wants these kids. Right, and so they throw these kids in a jail cell and scale Hordak off.
They're using them for like leverage or whatever. But what leverage?
Leverage for what?
I mean, it's like, what are you going to do? Get ransom money?
Aren't you pissing off Horde Prime?
Right.
I have no idea. And they're robots. What do they care?
Also, Skeletor's looking for these kids.
Yeah, Skeletor's also looking for these kids. They get thrown in jail and they meet a bunch of good Monstroids. They're called, I don't know, they're probably good droids or something like that.
You mean the machines? Exactly.
That's when the one talks like a race car.
Well, he's Cutter. because he can cut through.
Well, that's the guy that breaks him out of jail.
Yes.
They're like Smurfs. They all can do, they have a job and that's their name.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so he breaks them out.
And the other one's probably like Wheelie.
Nope. Guess again. Don't they say Speedy?
Shit, that's perfect. I mean, it's very good.
Don't they say Speedy?
and they suck at their job because they instantly break them all out. And it's like an Ewok fight where they're fighting the Monstroids, but they get beat.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that very moment, Skeletor shows up, right? I don't know if even Skeletor shows up at this moment, but I think She-Ra and He-Man show up. And they battle the Monstroids with the other robots. And then at that exact same time, I think Skeletor comes and sneaks in and kidnaps the children.
Yes, he does.
We love it. Right from here on is where everything became our favorite movie.
Skeletor's dialogue is literally tops.
Yeah. And I have to...
It's so good.
I'm so sorry that I can't remember the robot. The good robots are actually called Mancheens.
Oh, Mancheens.
Yeah. And they also had to go to Pika Blue.
Oh, my God.
Pika Blue had to tell them an entire story of where they are.
Yes.
And that was like a whole thing. But no, when She-Ra's fighting, by the way.
I think Pika Blue's cute.
We have to talk about She-Ra's sword because you mentioned before they could do anything.
Okay,
Something in this movie that it rarely ever does, and that's that the diamond in it shoots a laser beam.
Yeah.
But when it does it goes like this. It makes me laugh so hard. It's just like doing that lip thing. So it shoots the Monstroids. But when they're all fighting, they beat the Monstroids. Skeletor sneaks in on his little tiny ship. I keep remembering things that we're forgetting about. I just remembered that He-Man at one point flies his race car like a rocket.
Yeah.
And they don't even try to explain it. I saw someone else on the line talk about it. They said, it's obvious that Mattel said, hey, we have a toy you never put on the show.
Yeah.
Put it in there.
Yeah, you got to sell this toy for us.
Got to sell this toy. So just make it a rocket ship, although it has no rockets or wings.
No, nothing.
Yeah, but so Skeletor sneaks in and takes the kids, but Hordak is pissed off because he's like, damn it, he's going to bring them to Horde Prime before me. So naturally, he shoots the back of Skeletor's little jet, and he goes and crashes into like a snow area.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is amazing. Just their dialogue is so great. Skeletor's like, damn it, he shot us. We're going down. Ooh, I hate him.
Everything about Skeletor is just amazing. It's amazing. When he enters the movie, like he's in it, you know, like we have several scenes with him, is when I just get elated because I just love everything about him.
Everything from in the crash. Because after the crash, this is some of the funniest stuff. I wrote this down in my notes. They're in the middle of the snow and they have no warm clothes on. They have normal clothes on. And Skeletor's like, get up, let's go. You know, and Alicia just straight up dies.
Oh my God.
Just plops like, dead. Wait a minute.
Out of nowhere, like he's literally trying to get them to walk. And she just falls over, like just falls over. I'm like, wait a minute. Did she just die?
She just died. And you just see her brother from the back. Just like mourning her.
He's on his knees, like holding her corpse.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
And by the way, they brought one of the Mancheens with them that is a Mancheen dog.
Yes, and he's cute. I can't help it.
It's like a little robot puppy. Yeah, and Alicia's dead, and Skeletor's like, get up. You know, we have to go. And then they're like mourning her dead body. And then he just goes, oh, I guess you're cold. So he takes his staff and makes them have winter cold coats. And all of a sudden, Alicia just springs up like she's back to life. And she goes, oh, thank you. I'm so warm now.
Like, you were just dead.
Thank you, Mr. Skeletor. You saved us.
You're like, you're so wonderful. You're so wonderful. Nice. And he goes, no, yeah. I'm not kind. I'm not nice. I'm not wonderful.
Yeah. He's basically like, thank you. Oh, I don't like this feeling I'm having. I feel strange. And now he goes, now let's go, children. And they're like, well, what about the dog? we're leaving the dog behind. Can we take him? And he goes, leave the dog. And then he realized the dog keeps barking from the distance and plopping into the snow. And he keeps looking over his shoulder. And he won't. He keeps doing his, by the way, the best, I love the animation of his walk. It's always been a staple of his walk where it's just like flowing. It's almost just so fake. Like you could tell the animation's put on top of whatever they're doing. And he's like walking, but he keeps stopping and looking back. And finally he's like, oh, jeez. So he grabs the dog and the dog starts licking his face. And then that's when he's like, something feels weird about me. Something's different. And they're saying, can I hold a dog? And he's like, no. It'll be better with me. So the dog is licking his face. And they start telling, he's like, tell me about Christmas. So the kids start talking about it. And everything they say is brilliant, right?
Yeah.
He's like, they're like, oh, you get presents. And he's like, they blow up. And they're like, no. And you're like, you play games. You have fun. And he goes, oh, so you get into fights?
Fun fights.
Fun fights. He goes, fights are fun. It's amazing.
He says at one point, he goes, I like fun fights. It's the best. He's the best.
Oh, he's the best. And he is, because his heart is growing three times that day. Yes. That's exactly what's going on here. And he gets to have a fun fight because he fights a giant Yeti.
Yes, he does.
And
he saves the kids.
He saves the kids, and they're telling him even better. And he's like, oh, boy, he's becoming friends with these children.
Yeah, and they're like, don't you feel good? And he's like, I don't like to feel good. Yeah. I like to feel evil.
Thank you, Mr. Skeletor. You are very kind.
Kind? Never use that word around me. Now get moving. Tell me more about this Christmas.
Well, it's a wonderful time of the year. Everyone has lots of fun.
You mean they get in fights?
No, they have fun.
Fights are fun. I like fights.
And you give each other presents.
And when you open them, they explode, right?
No, they're nice gifts.
Nice? Doesn't sound like much fun to me.
Oh my God. But so, I mean, the gang, they catch up, and there is, the Horde Prime is going to fly a jet in, but of course Hordak comes, and Hordak shoots Skeletor down, and Skeletor is knocked. Actually, what Skeletor goes to shoot him, because he's trying to defend the kids, and Hordak makes a shield and makes him hit himself, and Hordak is like, you idiot, you hit yourself.
And Skeletor's like out.
He's out. He's out. And the kids are like all mourning Skeletor, and the dog is licking his face while He-Man and She-Ra show up and have a giant battle with Hordak. And then Horde Prime shows up, and Skeletor is licked. He's licked awake.
The dog.
The dog has woken him.
It's so
and
cute.
There's a giant claw coming to pick up Miguel and Alicia, and Skeletor shoots it and disintegrates it. And now this is one of my favorite lines in the movie. While the claw is disintegrating, he goes up into the engine, and Horde Prime goes, no, that idiot hit our engine. And he goes and crashes, and Skeletor goes, ooh, I blew him up. I think Horde Prime is going to be mad at me. I think he's going to be really upset. And then Horde Prime goes, they're crashed, completely crashed. And he goes, upset. I'm very upset. Skeletor. And he goes to shoot him. And that's when He-Man and She-Ra come and pick up the whole jet, the whole giant Horde Prime ship, and throw it into space. And Skeletor is like, and then of course, He-Man and She-Ra think they're going to get all the credit, but the kids go, Mr. Skeletor, you saved our lives. And they're like, Skeletor did.
Yeah, they couldn't believe it.
And he's like, I think I did save your lives. It's just great. It's just so funny. And they're like, hey, Skeletor, that's what Christmas is all about. And he's like, but don't worry, Skeletor, it's only once a year. And he's like, thank goodness.
He doesn't want to feel good. He wants to feel evil.
He loves feeling evil.
So they go back to Eternia and
have a party.
They have a party.
He-Man dresses like Santa Claus.
He-Man's dressed like Santa Claus is so funny. So obviously it's He-Man, but then She-Ra pulls the beard off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he goes, oh, it's, you know, it's me now. You know, it's me.
I love when he's doing the Santa voice. It's just like him doing this.
Yes.
And he's like, you've been a good child, little girl, to his own sister. And she's like, oh, yes, oh, Santa Claus, my brother. Oh, boy, you knew it was me all along? Oh,
I mean,
so bad.
I think for the time period, like back then, we did not even blink twice. But
we
now,
should definitely end it, though, because the kids get sent home.
The kids get sent home.
Flying jetpacks.
Yes, and now
we see their parents.
We see their parents. Now, their parents are clearly, okay, their father is clearly either an Italian
He's
man.
He's an Italian man.
Or a Latino man.
He looks like Ron Jeremy.
You want to talk about people who, like, have, you know, he looks like a Giuseppe. That's what he looks like.
Yes, he does.
He should be, like, literally a Giuseppe.
Yes.
The mother, though, looks like a librarian. Yes. Like, she's so, like, plain Jane. Like, nothing going on. Like, just looks like a librarian. And so the kids come home and they're like, okay, well, you know, I'm so happy to have you home. You've been missing all this time. It didn't seem like they were so shaken up about it.
They're actually like, why'd you take so long?
Yeah. And they came back without the fucking tree, by the way. They didn't have any tree.
I thought they had it because they did get beams.
They didn't show the tree. They did not show.
I thought they did.
Mm-mm, they didn't show the tree at all. So the whole reason they were out there was to get the tree.
They had a tree.
They didn't bring the tree back home. So the parents send them to bed and they try to explain where they have been. And that He-Man gave them these belts around their waist that can hover them. And the parents are like, oh, stop with your stories. Go to bed. And so they start walking away. And the kids hover past them with their hover belts. And the parents are like, doing.
Yeah.
like, oh my God. Like, what? And that's the end of the movie.
That's it. And well, we see them and they're like, they're going to celebrate Christmas. Like, He-Man is doing like one of those moments where he's sitting in front of the fireplace and he's talking about how now Eternia celebrates Christmas. Not everybody celebrates it. But everybody feels it in their hearts.
Yeah.
It's all about love and family. And Orko says presents.
Yeah. Well, that was a good way to include, you know, to be inclusive of all. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was their way.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, that's kind of cute. But I got to tell you something. I really did not hate this. I was entertained by how absolutely goofy and silly it was.
I think that the fun part of it now, seeing it as an adult, is that we can laugh.
Oh,
at how
yeah
hilariously bad it is.
And I
like,
mean,
it's like cheesy.
It's so cheesy,
and it's so badly produced.
But like my little girl self watching this, I would have been like, I love this, and I don't. I think I saw it as a kid. I just don't recall it was so long ago.
I definitely did.
But I mean, and my little girl self would have been like, oh my God, I love this. I know I would have.
What I love about it is, too, you know, I was thinking about during the movie, I was thinking to myself, you know, we would only get to see this once, maybe a year, if they rebroadcasted it. So we would see it only on live TV and then maybe see it again if they rebroadcast it the next year, if it was popular. But the only time you would get to see these movies is those rare occasions during the December. And yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, I was thinking about that because we didn't have these on tapes.
Mm-mm.
Unless we recorded it ourselves, which
right.
was rare back then because you couldn't afford it. And also tapes weren't really tapeable and it was expensive. You would have to put the piece of tape over it or eraser in the hole and do all that stuff. But that was way later. That was like 90s, like well, if you can afford it. And so these kind of things were really hard to find. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up is like, it was never intended to be mass watched over and over and over again.
Mm-mm.
And I think that's why it was so, a lot of these specials are so cheap, is because they're only supposed to be that one time. So they feel special, but on a rewatch, you realize, oh, it's not that special. And they really don't want you to rewatch it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now we can see everything over and over and we can pick it apart.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of funny in retrospect, looking back at it and going, oh my God, what a difference it is when you get to rewatch a thing. Like literally the reason we kind of hold all these things dear, like I think we something we could talk about is like the It TV special. Like it wasn't really like you didn't go to the video store and rent it. Right. You watched it each week and you hopefully maybe recorded it and you'll watch it later on, try to follow the commercials. But the reason it was so popular is like that nostalgia feeling, like that first time seeing it, you're like, oh my God, it was so scary.
Yeah.
But if you rewatch it again, you go, oof.
It's cheesy.
That's not that good.
Yeah.
But we kind of hold it dear regardless because we really don't experience it twice. We only really hold dear that first watch.
Yes.
So as a child watching this in 85, which we would be young.
Yeah.
It was probably fun as hell. It was, oh, cool. We get to see all the characters in one movie.
Yeah.
You know? And so it was special. But rewatching it as an adult without, you know, no longer having the glasses on, no longer having that nostalgia effect, that you can see through the cracks and go, wow, what a pile of crap.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time go, it is fun.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a fun to it, without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I had fun. I laughed. I mean...
If it wasn't for Skeletor, would we like it as much?
Probably not.
No.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really the big draw here.
Everything about the Skeletor scenes is the highlight.
Yeah, I mean,
and Hordak's dick ship.
I wouldn't say that's a highlight.
Oh, it's funny. But it's worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah, Skeletor is definitely the draw here. But I, you know, honestly, when I was looking for reviews on this, there's no 1-star review.
That's insane.
There's no 1-star review. There's a 2-star review, but there's a couple of 10-star reviews on this. There's like 3 of them. So. I can read out 1 10-star review if you want.
Sure.
All right. So this one's so bad that it's great. Okay, if you actually watch this seriously, you'll think it's rubbish. But if you watch it for the unintended jokes and campiness, you'll probably laugh till you cry like I did. No, it doesn't really deserve a 10 out of 10 when you take an analytical look at it. But for overall fun and lightheartedness, I'll give the movie its dues. Besides, it's generally harmless. Well, maybe. View for yourself and judge. Like many of the B-grade cartoon movies, it's made for ridicule and shameless promotion of the tie-in toys. And I'd say it hits the mark on both these counts very well. So if you want to watch a hilariously bad movie with friends for all-around enjoyment, don't go past this one. I like that review.
I like it too. I don't like that he gave it a 10.
Right. I like the review. I liked what he said, but I don't think it's not a 10 out of 10. And he knows it's not a 10 out of 10.
That's what I'm saying. I don't like that he gave it a 10.
Yeah.
He knows better. But I do agree. It's so bad. It's good. It's kind of like that fun cheese.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to do it on this.
An 80s kid full of nostalgia, like the person you married. I literally live for nostalgia. And I love the 80s cartoons and everything to do with the 80s. And I think that this is, even though you can look past the cheesiness and look past the silliness, it's actually an endearing movie. I mean, Skeletor, you know, he has a heart in this for a minute, you know, and I think it's kind of sweet. I think it's a sweet movie. I don't think there's really anything to despise about it. It's cute. You know, even the little characters, a little robot dog and stuff, like, it's just cute. It's all cute. I did not hate this. And I'm not going to go as far as to say I love this movie, but I enjoyed it. So I'm going to give it a 5.
Yeah, I'm giving it a 5.
It's cute.
It's in the middle there. I mean, it's not particularly the worst thing I've ever seen. It's not great either. It's just kind of right there in the middle.
Yeah.
You're definitely going to get a kick out of it. If you watch with a group of friends, like he said, without a doubt.
Yeah. And if you're in like our age group and you watched He-Man as a kid, you should see this because it'll bring you into some kind of like, oh my God, did I really enjoy He-Man as a kid? Or was I just sitting there with blinders on because I was a kid?
Yeah.
Because it's cheesy. That's the voiceover acting is very cheesy. It's next level cheesy. Some of the characters are just weird, questionable, but it was an 80s cartoon. I mean, the 80s was so weird as it was. Weird and wonderful, I'm going to say. Love the 80s. But yeah, I say watch this. It's 51 minutes. I mean, you're not going to lose anything out of your life by watching it. It's cute.
Yeah.
And just for Skeletor alone, it's cute. So,
it's just so worth it.
Yeah. So 5 for me.
All right. I agree. So yeah, any parting thoughts on this movie?
No, I just think She-Ra, Princess of Power, is kind of neat. I mean, she's got a really cool sword and a really nice outfit, and she's really pretty. And I kind of wanted to be her when I was a kid.
Yeah? Okay.
I mean, I really want to be Jem, but I really like She-Ra, too. And that's all I got for you.
Interesting.
Yeah, even though I did live my life more like Punky Brewster.
You know, it's funny that you say She-Ra. I'm thinking to myself, who did I want to be? And it wasn't like He-Man. Every time we played on the court, we like went to the playground and we all played. I was like, I want to be Winston from the Ghostbusters. What the hell was that about?
You wanted to be Winston?
Yeah, that's so strange.
Huh.
I still don't know if I understand that one.
I mean, if I was a Ghostbuster, I would be Ray.
I mean, you feel like that, right? I was like, I'll be Winston. It's so
I mean,
strange.
Everybody wants to be Venkman, but you know, Venkman's kind of a dick.
Yeah, I you know, my like, it's odd because like the turtles and someone is like, oh, what turtle? Donatello.
No, man, Raphael.
It's all about Donatello for me.
No, man.
I know, it's so strange. I picked the weird things. I have no idea
why. I got
why.
An attitude problem, so I'm picking Raph. I mean, we could go through all that and be like, you know, oh, which Transformer are you?
Oh, yeah. Everybody wanted to be Bumblebee.
Aw, I love him.
Right? He's and Bumblebee great. Was the bad, whatever.
All right. Anyways, we're going to wrap this up.
Okay. That's it. Until next time. Hit us up on Instagram at Joe at The Crafty Misfit and me at Just Another Movie Night. And tell us what you think. Tell us your favorite moments, what characters you wanted to be, and why Hordak's ship doesn't look like a penis. We'd love to hear about it. So hit us up anywhere and anytime. And thanks for listening. And have a good one. Bye.
Merry Christmas, everyone. And thank you.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, young lady.
Merry Christmas, brother.
Oh, you know, you knew it was me all the time, didn't you?
Uh-huh.
Well, Merry Christmas, sis.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
My face, you ratty dog. Get away from me. You're drowning me. Get off.